So today we're reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 9, verses 127 to 131. And 131 is on the board, so later on we can recite together. I will recite and read the translation of the first few verses before we go on to 31, where we can all recite. So 127. The Lordly Pride. Lord Krishna has special characteristic. He attracts everyone's heart by the mellow of his personal conjugal love. 128. By following in the footsteps of the inhabitants of the planet known as Raja, Loka or Goloka Vrindavan, one can attain the shelter of the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. However, in that planet, the inhabitants do not know that Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. 129. There someone may accept him as a son and sometimes bind him to a grinding mortar. Someone else may accept him as an intimate friend and, attaining victory over him, playfully mount his shoulders. The inhabitants of Rajabhumi know Krishna as the son of Maharaj Nanda, the king of Rajabhumi, and they consider that they can have no relationship with the Lord in the rasa of opulence. 131, translation, in purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada ki. Translation, one who worships the Lord by following in the footsteps of the inhabitants of Rajabhumi attains him in the transcendental planet of Raja, where he is known as the son of Maharaj Nanda. Purport, the inhabitants of Rajabhumi or Goloka Vrindavan know Krishna, the son of Maharaj Nanda. They do not accept him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead as people in general do. The Lord is the supreme maintainer of everyone and the chief personality amongst all personalities. In Rajabhumi, Krishna is certainly the central point of love, but no one knows him there as the supreme personality of Godhead. Rather, a person may know him as a friend, son, lover or master. In any case, the center is Krishna. The inhabitants of Rajabhumi are related to the Lord in servitude, friendship, parental love, and conjugal love. Person engaged in devotional service may accept any one of these transcendental relationships, which are known as mellows. When such a person reaches the perfectional stage, he returns home back to Krishna in his pure spiritual identity. Om Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Namam Vishnupadaya Krishna Prashthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesa Sunyavadi Paschatyade Satarine. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama राम राम हरे हरे वंशकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितनां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवभ्यो नमो नमः। So these section of verses that we're going through in chapter 9 of Madhya Lila, specifically verses 127 to 132. They're all about following in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan, the Ragatmika Bhaktas. Anyone can tell us what is the technical term for following in the footsteps of residents of Vrindavan or the Ragatmika Bhaktas? Yes, Raganuga, Sadhana Bhakti. So we have Vedi Sadhana Bhakti and we have Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti, right? So Vedi Sadhana Bhakti is regulated devotional practice, whereas Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti is spontaneous devotional practice. And it's very important to understand the difference between the two. They're both practices, but there is a big difference, right? One is spontaneous devotional practice, the other is regulated devotional practice. Okay. Regulated meaning there's certain times, there's certain ways that we can engage in service of the Lord as directed by spiritual master, by the saintly personalities, and as is indicated in the scriptures. Right? So this is Vedi Sadhana Bhakti. And Raganuga is spontaneous, but one still continues to engage in some practice of the aspects of the 64 items of Sadhana Bhakti, which Rupa Goswami enlists in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Okay. Going back to the verse, if one engages in Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti, or one follows or worships Lord Krishna in the footsteps of residents of Vrindavan, who will one attain? Or who will one achieve? This verse says one will achieve Krishna. How many of us are interested in achieving Krishna? Right? Okay. Some of you didn't raise your hands. They're more concerned about attaining breakfast or catching up on rest. Or maybe they're just shy. So we're all interested in achieving, acquiring, attaining Krishna. Here the word paya is used. Sanskrit, Bengali, like that. Paya means achieving, attaining, acquiring Krishna. Yeah. And this is only possible to acquire Krishna, to achieve Krishna, to attain Krishna. This text is saying is possible only by following in the footsteps of residents of Vrindavan. Yeah? It's not saying some other means, some other process, some other secret is there. Yeah? Only by following in the footsteps of residents of Vrindavan. More than being with Krishna, getting something that we desire from him, more importantly is we acquire him, we achieve him, we attain him, we purchase him. Right? We purchase him. Because if you're able to purchase him, then everything else will be fulfilled. Right? Everything else will be achieved. One time, an elderly lady was invited to the palace by the king. Sometimes elderly persons are invited to the palace, maybe because they hit this 100 years. I don't know if it still goes on. So you get a special invitation with the king or the queen, you know, like that. Come and take dinner at the palace. Right? So this elderly lady was invited to the palace. And the king was very much appreciative of her for living such a long life, taking care of her health and everything, bringing up nice children, doing her duty as a mother, as a wife, and so on, and also serving society in this way. So the king was very pleased with her. So now, you know, you achieved so much, right? You sacrificed so much in your life to serve others, to bring up nice children. You served your husband, right? You served as a nice mother. So what would you like from me? You can ask from me anything. Would you like some cash? Would you like some gold? Some jewelry? Maybe some property? What would you like from me? What would you have gone for? Maybe we can shout out a few things. If, for example, Charles, King Charles, right? He invites you to the palace. And says, yes, you've been serving society through devotional service, through Krishna consciousness. What would you like from me? You can ask from me anything. What would you say? What would you go for? Any thoughts? What would you go for? New bead bag. fancy bead bag. Right? Nowadays there are a lot of fancy bead bags, aren't they? Embroidered, you know. So all sorts of interesting and amazing bead bag. You can even have counters which are like magnets, right? Bead bag to chant. Yeah, again, to serve Krishna, right? You'd go for a new bead bag, okay? A better bead bag. Anyone else? Rajabhumi?
I would say close all the slaughterhouses.
Close all the slaughterhouses. Wonderful. So more and more we're going to selfless answers. Okay, good. Anyone else? Yes, Ruben Bro?
Give some chanting beads for the
beat bag. Give some chanting. To poor Charles. Okay, I don't want anything, but I want to serve you. I'm going to give you a bead bag and make sure also that the bead bag has some beads in it. Not just give him the bead bag. Right? Because then he can chant on them later on. Chant on the beads. Anyone else? Well, you guys are all self-satisfied and you have everything, huh? Krishna's fulfilled all your desires. David? Ask him to take a book. Okay. Would you ask him to read the book or just to take the book? Okay. Would you ask him for a donation? Again, for service, not for the temple, for yourself, right? Like that. Yeah. Good. Amazing answers. This elderly lady, very intelligent elderly lady. Usually they say when you get older, you get wiser. It's not always the case, but generally like that. So this intelligent lady, dear king, I don't want anything from you. All I would like from you is for you to become my son. I would like you to come to my house and take dinner. And I will serve you dinner, I will cook dinner for you. This is what I would like from you. Very intelligent lady. I want you to become my son, and therefore, like a mother, I want to serve you. You just come to my house, like I'll come to your palace, you come to my house, and I will feed you. I want to satisfy you, I want to please you. Very intelligent lady, why? Because if the king becomes the son, king becomes purchased, then any time, in any situation, this lady can go to the king, right, to ask for anything, right, complain or whatever, right, ask for anything. Similarly, we want to purchase Krishna in this way, right, we want to purchase Krishna in this way. And Krishna wants to give himself. We want Krishna to be our lover, our son, our friend. Yeah. we want to purchase Krishna. And this in this translation, in this particular text, 131, Krishna is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then Prabhupada is giving us a key to purchase Krishna. Shri Radha Gokulananda ki, Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Shri Gaur Nitai ki. What's the key? What's the secret? Worshipping the Lord, serving the Lord, following in the footsteps of the inhabitants of Rajabhumi, engaging in Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti. Does Prabhupada give further ideas, further clues in the purport how we can engage in this way? Not so much. Let's have a look. Prabhupada, near the end of the purport, just reminding ourselves because we just read the purport, Prabhupada says, person engaged in devotional service may accept any one of these transcendental relationships. And he's talking about taking Krishna as a friend, as a lover, as a son, so on and so forth. So one may accept any one of these transcendental relationships, right? And then he says, these relationships are known as mellows. When such a person reaches the perfectional stage, he returns home, back to Krishna in his pure spiritual identity. Yeah. So Prabhupada says one will achieve Krishna. Sorry, translation says one will achieve Krishna, attain Krishna. Prabhupada says one will come to the perfectional stage. Yeah. And one will attain Raja. One will attain the spiritual world, Golokadam, right? In one's spiritual identity. So what is Prabhupada saying? How does one engage? What is the clue? How does one engage following in the footsteps of inhabitants of Rajabhumi? How does one engage in worship? How does one engage in service to the Lord? By accepting one of these transcendental relationships. So what is it? Do we just choose like, okay, Krishna's my friend? Do we choose at this point? Right? Can we choose at this point? When do we choose? Right? When may accept Krishna in one of these relationships? What is that point? When we can accept Krishna as a son, as a friend, as a lover. This is what Prabhupada is saying. One may accept him, and then by accepting, one will attain the perfectional stage. One will attain Krishna. One will attain Rajabhumi. Yeah. So when? When can one accept this relationship with Krishna? So, I was thinking of kind of starting off with the goal. Yeah. And then kind of going backwards and coming to the point of engaging in Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti, worshipping, serving the Lord, following in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan. Yeah? And we are all interested definitely in attaining, acquiring Krishna, and especially having informal relationships with Krishna in an informal setting. Yeah? Formal relationships, there's not so much fun in that. There's not so much sweetness in that. Being in a formal place also, there's not sweetness and fun in that. So really, if we actually analyze our lives and, analyze our situations, and what we actually really want is informal situations, informal relationships, right? And then with perfected beings and perfect person. This is what we're really after. And then being with these perfect persons and the perfect person, Krishna, all our desires are bound to be fulfilled. We'll be happy, we'll be blissful, we'll be pacified, right? We'll be peaceful. Yeah. We'll be fulfilled. This is what we're after. At the moment we're running around trying to acquire this in different ways, isn't it? Okay, so let's start off with the goal, prema. This perfectional stage, going back to Godhead, attaining the spiritual world, right? Attaining Krishna, this is known as prema. So let's start off with prema. There are two types of prema. Kevala prema and Mahatma Gyan prema. Yeah? Mahatma Gyan prema is where love is mixed with the knowledge of Lord's majesty. Yeah? This is where one appreciates Lord's greatness, where one appreciates Lord's opulence, yeah, and takes Lord as the master and themselves as a servant. So this is Mahatma Gyan Prema. Yeah, love mixed with the knowledge of Lord's majesty, His greatness. Then we have Kevala Prema. Kevala Prema. Kevala means only, right, or without dilution, yeah, unalloyed. So Kevala Prema is pure prema. Pure prema. So this is where one does not deviate from any other subject or any other person other than Krishna. Not even his greatness, not even his opulence. One is just focused on Krishna. Serving Him, loving Him, worshipping Him. Nothing else. Yeah? So this is Kevala Prema, pure Prema. So you have mixed Prema, right, which is knowledge of the Lord's majesty, and then you have Kevala Prema, which is pure Prema, without deviation to any other subject or any other person. How can one come to the stage of prema? How does generally one come to the stage of prema? There are two main ways. One is by exclusive special mercy by the Lord, right? Or through bhava bhakti. These are the two ways to come to prema. For Lord to give His exclusive mercy, this is extremely rare, very, very rare. There's not that many examples. Just one example, really, I've came across. I haven't come across any other examples. Can anyone guess someone who came, guess of personalities who came to prema simply by Lord's mercy, exclusively by Lord's mercy? They didn't do anything special. They didn't engage in sadhana bhakti. They didn't go to the holy places. They didn't serve the saintly personalities. They didn't engage in austerity. But simply and exclusively by the Lord's mercy, they came to prema. Any guesses? Any ideas? Krishna himself gives this example when he's speaking to Uddhava. Arjuna, go on. Okay, that example is not given, but yeah, maybe. Arsh? The four Kumaras? But they were engaged in Gyan though, right? Yeah. And there was mercy coming from the Lord, but was it special, exclusive mercy? Like they didn't really, they weren't in any way... qualified. How generally? Sudama, there's answers coming from the back. Jagai and Madai, okay. The wives of the Brahmanas, okay. Example that Krishna gives, that Rupa Goswami gives? He says the gopis. Gopis. So then you may think, okay, hold on. Some of the gopis did engage in sadhana bhakti, devotional service, because they were the, you know, some of these gopis were rishis in their previous life, you know, like that, or long, long time ago. And they desired to have Krishna, right? To be close with Krishna. Okay? It can't be these gopis. And then you have the other gopis who are eternal residents of Vrindavan, eternally with Krishna. So it can't be these gopis. Some of the gopis were daughters of sages, daughters of demigods. So also demigods, they're also kind of pious, they engage in devotional service, right? They take the Lord as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, yeah, like that. Some gopis were like this, yeah? And then there were other gopis who were like on the, they were kind of, this was their last life. They engaged in sadhana bhakti, or they came to this point where they're going to attain prema very quickly. Yeah? So they engaged in sadhana bhakti. So there were certain groups of gopis, they didn't do anything specific. This is what Krishna says, he's speaking with Uddhava. Certain groups of gopis, they didn't engage in austerity, they didn't engage in sadhana bhakti, they didn't go to the holy places. Yeah? They weren't the daughters of the demigods and the sages. They weren't the sages from Lord Ram's pastimes. Certain gopis received this exclusive mercy of Krishna by which they attained prema. So this is one way of attaining prema. The other is through bhav. Yeah? So how can one come to prema through bhav? So bhav which is attained through Vaidhi sadhana bhakti and bhav which is attained through Raganuga sadhana bhakti. Okay? So the example of person who came through Vaidhi sadhana bhakti and attained prema is Narad Muni. Yeah? The example of someone who attained bhav through Raganuga sadhana bhakti and then prema is a personality called Chandrakanti. Rupa Goswami mentions her. He quotes Padma Purana. Chandrakanti desired to have Krishna as her husband. No one else. She worked on this. She made sure that she focused on Krishna. She practiced, you could say. She practiced to have Krishna as a lover. Like this. And at one point, she came to the point of being completely fixed, exclusively being fixed on Krishna. Right? So the term used is mamatva. She became exclusively fixed on Krishna. This is one of the symptoms of prema. Yeah? Krishna, mamatva means Krishna is mine. Krishna is my son. Krishna is my lover. Krishna is my husband. Yeah? Krishna is my friend. He is mine. Krishna belongs to me. That's mamatva. Yeah? Then we have what is known as tadiya. I am Krishna's servant. Krishna is my master. So this wasn't the case with Chandrakanti. Chandrakanti came to the point of from bhava coming from Raganuga sadhana bhakti, she came to the point of Krishna is mine. Krishna is my lover. Right? Krishna belongs to me. Yeah. So this is bhava prema, bhava coming from Raganuga sadhana bhakti. How does one come to the stage of bhava? Yeah. How does one come to the stage of bhav? There are two main ways of coming to the stage of bhav. Any ideas? Yeah, that's the general process of, you know, kind of step-by-step process of coming to prema. Yeah. Yeah, but specifically, how does one land on the at the stage of bhava bhakti? So that's the way of coming to bhava, but how does one end up being there? David? Yeah, so one is mercy, and the other thing that Govinda Prabhu said is actually bhava, because of engaging in Vedi sadhana bhakti or engaging in raganuga sadhana bhakti. By specific term is by ardent practice. Right? By ardent practice one can come to bhava, and that can be either through Vedi sadhana bhakti or raganuga sadhana bhakti. The term ardent means very enthusiastically or intensely. Or enthusiastically and intensely. By ardent practice one comes to bhava, either raganuga or Vedi. The other is by mercy. Right? So this is not exclusive mercy which the gopis received, which we spoke about previously. Yeah. So this mercy can come in the form of words. Yeah. By darshan. Yeah. Audience of the lordships. Or by heartfelt unspoken blessings. Yeah. So these verbal blessings, the term for it is vachika. So here, the Lord speaks to Narad Muni and he says, my dear Narad Muni, I very much desire that you develop devotional service. You develop all auspiciousness in devotional service. Right. So this is Lord's direct blessings onto Narad Muni. Then we have the example of the people of the province of Jangala, which I mentioned. They simply had the darshan of the Lord, and simply by seeing the Lord, they started developing ecstatic symptoms. And they came to the stage of bhava. They couldn't take their eyes off from the form of the Lord. Right? So this is how they came to bhava. And then we have heartfelt, unspoken blessings. So this is Ridaya. Yeah. So example of this is Sukadev Goswami. So there is no instances where there was direct contact from the Lord with Sukadev Goswami. But there was the desire of the Lord. Because Vyasadev went to the Lord and said, my son is there, but you know, he's in the womb and he's not coming out. So Supreme Lord said, okay, Vyasadev, you go back and I will make sure that he won't be affected by material energy. You know, like this. So there was the desire of the Lord. According to Sukha Samhita, there was the desire of the Lord that he becomes a devotee. Right? Heartfelt desire. Similarly, Narad Muni desired that Mugari the hunter become the devotee. Similarly, also Narad Muni desired that Prahlad Maharaj become a devotee. Right? He didn't say to Prahlad Maharaj, I want you to become a devotee. But he very much desired that he becomes a devotee. So in this way, one can receive mercy either from the Lord or his devotee to come to bhava. Yeah? Or by ardent practice of Vedi sadhana bhakti or raganuga sadhana bhakti. Okay, let's look at raganuga sadhana bhakti. Okay, how is it that Chandrakanti came to the point of having Krishna exclusively as a lover and no one else? How did she come to this point? So she engaged in raganuga sadhana bhakti. How did she come to engage in raganuga sadhana bhakti? One time she saw the deity form of the Lord. And upon seeing the beautiful deity form of the Lord, she became overwhelmed. And she wanted to dance. She felt like dancing for the Lord. She wanted to dance for the Lord. And she started thinking, who are the personalities, right? Or who? And how do I go about dancing for the Lord? I very much want to dance for the Lord. And immediately she started thinking of the gopis, right? Gopis dance for the Lord. gopis danced with the Lord. So therefore, she started following in the footsteps of the gopis. She engaged in dancing for the Lord just like the gopis. And she danced throughout the night, following in the footsteps of the gopis. Right? So this dancing throughout the night, right? That is one of the symptoms of Bhav, constant engagement in devotional service and intense desire to attain the Lord or to attain the stage of pure devotional service. Right? So, following in the footsteps of the gopis, she came to this point of dancing for the Lord throughout the night, constantly engaged in service for the Lord, and very much wanting to be situated at the perfected stage. Okay. So this Raga Nuga Sadhana Bhakti, this is how Chandrakanti attained prema, love of God. Okay. So still the question is there. At what point does one accept Krishna as one's lover, as a servant, as a friend and as a son? At what point one accepts Krishna in this relationship? So, what is the eligibility to engage in Raga Nuga Sadhana Bhakti? What is the eligibility? What was the eligibility of Chandrakanti? She went through these stages and then she attained perfection. She attained love of God and she attained Krishna. What is her eligibility? Rupa Goswami says, a very strong, spontaneous desire to serve Krishna in a particular relationship. A very strong, spontaneous desire to serve Krishna in a specific relationship. And another term that's given to this is lolyam or greed. The Sanskrit term is lobha. At the moment, we're very greedy for acquiring material things, material position, right, money, so on and so forth. When that greed is there for Krishna, that's when one is ready to practice these relationships, engage in these relationships with Krishna. Very strong, spontaneous desire to serve Krishna in a particular relationship. This greed, this lolyam, that's another term as well, must be there. How does that come about? This comes about by hearing about the Lord and also residents of Vrindavan and the Lord's relationships and exchanges with the residents of Vrindavan. So key thing here is hearing about the pastimes of the Lord, the various exchanges with the Lord and the devotees, hearing about the devotees, hearing about the Lord, the qualities of the Lord and so on. But we hear all the time, isn't it? So when is that going to come? Right? What else do I have to do? I'm hearing. I attend Bhagavatam classes. If I can't attend, I'm hearing online. Chaitanya Charitamrita classes. I'm reading the Bhagavatam. In fact, I'm reading the 10th canto. I'm reading Chaitanya Charitamrita. I'm reading the pastimes of the Lord. So how is it that I'm not developing this intense desire, this greed to serve the Lord in a particular relationship? Right? So then Rupa Goswami explains further. When does this greed come? When does this eagerness come? Right? This intense desire to serve in a particular relationship with the Lord come? So this comes at the stage of nishtha. What is nishtha? Nishtha, we have Shraddha, right? We know these stages, right? So Nishtha is different. Shraddha is faith and Nishtha is also faith. But Nishtha is really conviction. Conviction, right? Conviction is so strong. It's very firm. firm faith. Sometimes nishtha is referred to as being firm faith. Yeah? That translate, what does that translate as practically? Constant, attentive sadhana. Constant, attentive sadhana. That's what it translates as, practically. So when we are constantly engaged in the attributes of devotional service, of sadhana bhakti, and when we're attentive, at the moment, we're neither constant nor attentive, right? We're trying to be attentive, and we're trying to engage more and more in devotional service so it can become constant. Yeah? So there has to be, we have to be at the point of where there is constant, attentive sadhana. What's stopping me from engaging in constant, attentive sadhana? Anarthas, right? Anarthas, the contaminations that are within our heart, the various conditionings, the habits, the various ill desires that are there, which we have fed over many, many lifetimes, right? And are still feeding, continuing to feed. Right, so we must be free from anarthas, okay? Freed from material contamination. Okay. So how does one become free from material contamination? What is the recommendation? Austerity. Is austerity simply enough? Because there's many people who engage in tapa, austerity, right, in the world, but not necessarily that they become free from contamination. In fact, they engage in austerity, tapa, so they can be more materially engrossed. Yeah? Attentive chanting, yeah. Anything else? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, good. More? Bhajana Kriya, okay. And how would you engage in Bhajana Kriya? Mm-hmm. So all these answers are right. So this is our list. Associate with the devotees. Yeah? What else did we come up with? Right? Do the positive things in Krishna consciousness. Avoid the negative things. Yeah? Engaging chanting. Follow the four regulative principles. Avoid those things which are harmful for our spiritual life. Yeah? And become more serious about doing this more and more. Yeah? Practice, right? Practice to become more attentive. Yeah, becoming more constant in our sadhana. Practice to do that more and more. Yeah? Not just going by whatever the mind throws at us. Right? Really being discriminating based on the knowledge of the scriptures. Is this spiritual? How much is this going to help me? How much of this is going to be, going to destroy me in terms of my spirituality? Yeah. So all of these things, and we need to the degree we are intense about these things, we're serious about these things, right? And we're enthusiastically, right, engaging in these things, and at the same time, we hear about the qualities of the Lord, qualities of the devotees, and the pastimes of the Lord, and the exchanges that are there between the devotees and the Lord. We're hearing at the same time. So then, slowly but surely, right, we will come to the point where we will start to become free. And more we'll start to the degree we intensely and seriously take this up and enthusiastically take this up, then we start to become, free from the contamination. And we start to develop attachment for the Lord. So when that attachment starts coming, then we start to, right, become more clear in terms of our chanting and so on, like this. Yeah, and then at one point, we start to develop this greed, right, to engage in a particular, specific relationship with Krishna, right? And then the question is, okay, I very much desire to free from contamination, stage of nishtha, very much desire to have this relationship with Krishna. I can't help it. It can't be logically explained. Why I have this desire to, you know, have this relationship with Krishna, to be with Krishna, to be in a holy place. I can't explain. So when we're at this point, so is it then we just go, you know, kind of exchange with Krishna in any way, anyhow? So there are three practices of Raga Nuga Sadhana Bhakti. Yeah? Remembrance. Also continue to engage in the 64 items of Sadhana Bhakti. And we may pay more attention to those items which help us to build that relationship that we very much desire. And then the third practice is absorption in service mood. Absorption in service mood. So following, for example, Rupa Goswami, yeah, following in his footsteps and his instructions. What has he given us? How we should engage in devotional service. And also, when we're quite, you know, we're quite good at this, and we develop that relationship with Rupa Goswami, right? Then we can engage in the services of Rupa Manjari, directed by Rupa Manjari. So therefore we are known as Rupa Nugas, right? Prabhupada Nugas, Rupa Nugas. Because at one point we have to absorb ourselves in this service mood. Yeah? So externally we serve Rupa Goswami, we follow his instructions. Internally we serve Rupa Manjari. And then serving Rupa Manjari, right, with the blessings of Prabhupada, our spiritual master, then accordingly we will be helped to the next stage of our devotional service, you know, like that, and relationship with Krishna, right? And there are, to find out, of course, in terms of the instructions of Rupa Goswami, we can read his books, like Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which Srila Prabhupada has translated, right, and summarized for us as Nectar of Devotion. And we can also, like for example, there's so much details about Rupa Goswami and the six Goswamis in various prayers, for example, Sad Goswami Astakam. And there are also other books which describe and tell us about the six Goswamis. So in this way then we can follow Rupa Goswami. And by his mercy, then we can come to realize his real identity, original identity in the spiritual world, and then we can be guided by him as Rupa Manjari. And in this way, we progress to Bhav and then come to Prema, where we can attain Krishna. So the secret is by following in the footsteps of residents of Vrindavan, Ragatmika Bhaktas. Right? Raga Nuga, Ragatmika. Yeah, Ragatmika. Raga means color or attachment. And Atmika means whose very essence. So the residents of Vrindavan, their very essence is attachment to Krishna. Or they're colored with the vision of Krishna. They're colored with vision of Krishna, their relationship with Krishna. So just like when someone puts on colored glasses, they see everything according to that colored spectacles, the glasses, yellow, red, whatever it may be. Similarly, the residents of Vrindavan only see Krishna, only see what is required to please Krishna, to serve Krishna, like that. So these are the Ragatmika Bhaktas. Raganuga means following in the footsteps of such Raga Bhaktas. Ragatmika Bhaktas. Right. So this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explaining to Venkat Bhat, and Srila Prabhupada is telling us in terms of how we can come to the point of achieving prema. So we'll read the text one more time, and in this way we'll conclude, and you can share any realizations, any comments, corrections, and ask questions. So text 131, once again. One who worships the Lord by following in the footsteps of the inhabitants of Rajabhumi attains him in the transcendental planet of Raja, where he is known as the son of Maharaj Nanda. Hare Krishna. Any questions, comments, corrections? Yeah.
The devotee who attained a bhava bhakti by having the desire to serve Krishna in that particular relationship, did they have the relationship in mind, or was it that I want to have this personal relationship with you, actually know what relationship that was? And if we're trying to do the same, can you just share a little bit more?
So we shouldn't impose a certain relationship with Krishna. We shouldn't impose ourselves onto Krishna. At the moment, for example, we're in a male body, so yeah, friends with Krishna, and I will take lunch with him, and we will play games in Vrindavan. This is an imposition. This is a speculation, right? We could be actually a gopi. That's our relationship with Krishna. So whatever is actually coming up now, right, usually whatever relationship we come up with usually is materially contaminated. Because at the moment we're very much attached to this body, right? This physical body, and also the mental, right, this subtle body, mind, intelligence, ego, and whatever comes from that, the various ideas and concepts that is coming through the subtle body. We're very much, very much attached to that. So therefore, whatever we come up will be a contamination. And that may not be our relationship with Krishna. Therefore, we're imposing ourselves on Krishna. Yeah. So therefore, we have to be free from contamination, this material contamination. So Chandrakanti was at the stage where she was free from contamination. At least 75%, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we must be free from. For us to then start to think about, or not even think about, it will be automatic. When we're free from at least 75% of the material contamination, it will start to become more or less automatic. And you can't really help yourself. That yes, somehow or the other, I just love Krishna in this particular way. In this, like this devotee also loves Krishna in this particular way. And I can't help myself. And it's not some kind of speculation. It's not some kind of idea from the mind. Right? Yeah, because it's not like, oh yeah, yesterday on the painting I saw one of the gopas, feeding Krishna some samosas. I ate samosa yesterday, and my mother packed lunch because I was going traveling. She packed lunch for me with samosas in it. So therefore, yes. So, no, it doesn't work like that. So we have to become free from material contamination. We have to start to develop attention, and we have to be constant in our sadhana. Yeah. How can we speak about our relationship with Krishna? How can you even, even go down this line where most of the time in our, for example, chanting for 2 hours, which is not even 24 hours, right? Not even for a few seconds we're able to be attentive. And yet we think, okay, I'm going to be a friend of Krishna. Oh, Krishna is my lover. Krishna is my son. We're not even attentive for a few seconds. All right? Yes, and then even when we are somewhat attentive, immediately we start thinking about ourselves, how I can be more happy, right? Instead of really what would be pleasing for Krishna. Yeah? Or, wow, I must be making advancement because I was attentive for a few seconds. Like that. So, yeah, we have to come to the stage of nishtha, and that's where things will become clear. And in no way at this moment we should attempt to kind of work on this relationship or come up with ideas of this relationship. So really the questions that we should really think about deeply, some ideas we got as you kind of shared, you know, in the class, but you should start to think about how can I become more and more free from contamination? What's holding me back? What are the things that are holding me? Come up with an action plan. Okay, so this is one thing that I'm going to focus on to begin with. Yes, there are 10 things that's stopping me, right? But there's one thing I'm going to begin with. Okay, and this week, this is the plan for this thing. This is what I'm going to do to make sure that I become free from this contamination, or at least not be as much influenced by this contamination. So what's stopping us? What is my action plan to overcome these challenges? Yeah. How can I be more attentive in my sadhana? How can I be more constant in my sadhana? What are the things that will help me? Okay, so many things will help me. Let's start off with these 10, and let's start off particularly for this month, this particular one thing. And this is my plan for this particular one thing. And then I'll review after a month. Bhaktivinoda Thakur wanted us to review every 2 weeks. Right? Every Ekadashi, we should review. What are we giving up? How are we making progress in giving up something? And how are we developing that attention, that constant engagement in sadhana? And then, how can I develop more of a taste for hearing Krishna's pastimes, his qualities, devotees' pastimes, their qualities, right? The various exchanges that are there between residents of Vrindavan and Krishna. How can I develop this? Right? So then you may come up with a big list. Okay, let's start off with a few, and let's start off with particularly this one. Yeah? So, as well as engaging in devotional service the way we're doing, if we're contemplating, we're strategic, right? Then very quickly we can come to this point. Yeah? Very quickly we can become free from contamination, come to the stage of nishtha, and then things really start to be quite automatic after that. Yeah? This is where we need to put in the work. Yeah? Anything else? Maybe one more, and then we'll stop, because we're coming up to 9 o'clock. Sam?
Hare Krishna. Yeah, I just wanted to... I was on the matter of... You were just speaking about... thinking about what our spiritual identity is. I just thought... It reminded me of something I heard Radhanath Maharaj said in an interview from Prabhupada Memories. I just thought I could just play a quick excerpt.
Just play? It's not, or,
yeah, just for my phone.
Or
just,
read.
Just play it. It's not too long. Yeah, that's okay. Yeah. Just something that he said, on the matter. This, I thought it's interesting from what you heard from Prabhupada.
I believe it was Advaitacharya. He was asking Prabhupada about Siddhadeha. And in the middle of the sentence, as soon as he said the word Siddhadeha, Prabhupada cut him off. He said, "What is this nonsense talking Siddhadeha? You are filled with so many bad qualities." He said, "Don't talk about Siddhadeha." And he explained, first you purify yourself through chanting Harinam. First you purify yourself by following the regulative principles. First you purify yourself by practicing the basic principles of Krishna consciousness. Until you're purified, don't talk about Siddhadeha. He was very strong, like a lion. Another devotee was...
Okay, thank you.
So yeah, it just
nice,
shows...
Nice like, summary.
Yeah, it just says Prabhupada's view on that. Like, follow. Yeah, basically like... All we know of our identity is that I'm a part and parcel of Krishna. Krishna's my only master. I'm his eternal servant. That's all we know at the moment. But that will help us bring, by fixing that in ourselves, that will help us to bring to that phase. All we know so far is that we're part and parcel. So, yeah. Like that.
Thank you. Thank you, Sam, for that. Nice summary, nice conclusion by His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Yeah.
Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda ki jai.